What up? What up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Do me a favor, please subscribe, leave a like, some comments, because I continue to bring this fire and grow and just have some really dope people on this podcast, man. Today, like I say, man, we always got some dope guests, but I got another hitter for you right now. This gentleman was born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He went to high school at Midwest City High School, was listed as the number 12 power forward and the 54th player in the nation in 2004. Also, after high school, he went on to play his college basketball at the University of Kansas, including on the 2008 National Championship team. After that, he was selected with the 52nd overall pick in the 2008 NBA draft by the Miami Heat. However, that same day, he was traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers, none other than Darnell Jackson, a.k.a. T-Block. What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, what's going on, Coach?
Man, yes, sir, man. I really appreciate you, bro, taking time to link up with me and chop it up, man. And as we know on the court, we're going to jump right into it. 94 Feet, man. Block from Oklahoma. Just tell me a little about Oklahoma, man, and where you grew up, man, and just how important that is in your life.
Man, I love Oklahoma City, man. I got Oklahoma tatted on my back, you know, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And the thing with Oklahoma, man, I grew up on all sides of the tracks in Oklahoma, man. It's not just one side that I was raised. You know, I bounced from home to home. I met a lot of great people in my life living in Oklahoma. And I always try to get a chance, you know, to go back and do things for the Boys and Girls Club, you know, give, you know, pizza parties, you know, school gear and school supplies. And the last time I was there, you know, we gave, you know, shoes away and some shirts and, you know, just a few things to help these kids just to get through the summer. And this year was kind of hard because of the pandemic. And I said something like a few months back, I just hope these kids understand like what's going on. We just got to stay safe. And I haven't forgot about them. I love the Boys and Girls Club. And that's how my life changed. That's how I got into basketball.
That's what's up. That's crazy. I used to work there. My first job out of college with the Boys and Girls Club here in Sac, man. It definitely is life changing. So growing up Oklahoma, man, and again, me doing my homework, man, on everybody on my show, I read something that says maybe you didn't start playing hoop until about what, ninth grade?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so
I didn't start playing officially until ninth grade.
Ninth grade. So prior to that, D, what sports or what did you do recreation-wise, man? What was it?
I played football, man. I was really, really good. My uncle got me a football, man, and I always believed that I was going to go to the NFL. Hmm. At one point in high school, I think my sophomore year, I was ranked the top 100 in the nation and at tight end. And I always believed that, man. In my junior year, I played tight end, and I ran a slant, got hit in my legs. My mom was like, "You're done." She was like, "This is not safe for you." Hmm. And I stuck with basketball, man. And then after that, when I, you know, got in trouble with the law, you know, I had to do community service. And my mentor, Corey Colbert, he was like, "Man, you come in and you play basketball." He's like, "You do this every day, I'll help you with your community service." Hmm. So that was the deal. And I stuck with it every day, man. That was my mentor. And, you know, he's definitely a father figure in my life. And it wasn't just like me playing against other kids, man. I'm playing against like ex-convicts. Ex-convicts, you know, guys that been through it. You know, these are guys that were tough on me. They didn't take it easy on me. And that's where the toughness came from, man, because these guys, you gotta understand, we go through life. When we go through life, man, we go through life with experiences.
Right.
And life is all about experiences. And I'm looking up to these guys because these are guys that were top players in their class in high school, but they made the wrong decisions. They went down the wrong path. So now he has me around these guys, and they're, you know, they're coaching me, they're teaching me, like, "Man, don't do this. Don't go this route. Mm-hmm. You go this route, man, you would never accomplish anything in life." And that always stayed with me throughout my career, because the biggest thing that I was always scared of was just failing.
Right. And you know, you say, as far, I mean, early on, right, you had this adversity early on.
Right.
I'm sure now, I mean, again, us being older, we're definitely mature. We've been through some things, but right there, that opportunity right there to make the right or wrong decision, but somebody to come and guide you the other way. How impactful would you say that was on your life at that point right there?
It was a big impact, because this is what I truly believe in. I don't care how old anybody is. Every single person needs guidance, because we don't know it all.
Yes, sir.
We don't know it all. even with this young generation and even with my story that I, you know, I talk about my story a little bit to some of the youth, and they always ask, it was like, man, why didn't you give up? And I was like, man, that's the easiest thing to do in life is give up. Hmm. I'm like, you always got to keep people around you that's going to have the best interests at heart for you. You got to keep people around you that's going to guide you. Because we don't know it all, man. And Corey, he definitely guided me. He guided me, man, so much that there was like, man, no, we're not doing it. You know, this is what you got to do, Block, if you want to make it. He's always telling me, like, man, Block, you're going to make it. You're going to be the top player in Oklahoma. You're going to go to college. You're going to go to the NBA. And I'm looking at this guy like, man, I'm doing community service. Like, And everything that he told me, it happened, it came true because I had to do the work. I stuck with it.
Yeah, key word, had to do the work. So you get to high school, you start making that transition after football. Moms put her foot down, right?
Right.
You know, these days, again, you coaching and training too. I see two now. But think about when you was at, in it going, how much time, bro, would you say you put in on your craft once you started to shift over to basketball? How much time would you dedicate into the game?
I was in the gym every night. Hmm. Even when I got done, you know, doing community service, like I would stay every night. I'll stay to the gym close. I get there after school. I'm there until 9, 10 o'clock.
Hmm.
And I do the same thing over and over. And that's what this young generation got to understand. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to build a foundation. You have to learn consistency, responsibility. And the biggest thing is, I don't care how tired you are, you have to do the work. Nobody's going to hand this to you. You have to earn it yourself.
That's what's up. So, and it's crazy because right now, bro, I can feel like we can end the show right now. You just said, don't quit. You said the adversity is right there. And that's just so crazy, man. You've been through it and you made it though. Like that's something we could tell any and everybody. You actually, I'm talking to a person right now who's been through it. Work project, whatever you want to call it, community service, and you still made it to the league, bro. So if y'all listening, man, y'all better take note to that. High school. You get to high, as far as high school, we talk about that, man. Give me a couple highlights, bro, while you was in high school that kind of stood out, that they, as far as basketball, kind of even got you thinking, like, you know what? I might can do this. This might be really me.
Mm-hmm. When I knew that I can make it is when I had the opportunity to play with the Nike Elite team in Oklahoma City. And when I first got the chance to get on a plane, my first time getting on a plane was my freshman year in high school. And we went to Vegas. And we went to Florida. So I'm seeing all these different places and I'm like, I want to be a part of this. Like, and that's when I knew, I was like, Darnell, you can go somewhere with this. And I got my first recruitment letter. And this is the thing I tell a lot of people. My first recruitment letter was for football from Kansas. Okay. And my second recruitment letter was from Tulane for basketball.
Hmm.
So I wasn't getting recruited by top schools until I'll probably say my junior year. Mm. And my only top schools were Purdue, Illinois, Oklahoma, and KU. And when Coach Self got that KU job, he came to Midwest City and he told me, he was like, man, don't make your decision yet. I might have an opportunity to get the Kansas job. And I said, okay. Then a week later, he called me. He said, do you want to come to Kansas? And I was like, hell yeah. And the reason why I wanted to go to KU, man, is because of Drew Gooden.
Oh, man.
When I had the opportunity to meet him, this dude was sick. I was on my recruitment visit. He had the flu. Met him. He went back to his dorm. And I'm talking about when he came back, bro, flu and all. I think he had a double. I think he had like 20 and 15, bro.
Mm.
And I was sitting there. After that, I was sitting on my grandma's couch. And they were interviewing him. They just won the Big 12. And he was just talking about the tradition of KU and how much he loved being at KU. And I was like, man, I want to be a part of that. He was the reason why I wanted to go to KU so bad, man. Looked up to this day. I still look up to Drew.
Yeah, he definitely an awesome dude, man. Yeah. A lot of respect for him for sure, man. Just that initial. So you make that commitment, bro, as far as the family wise. How was the response for the family, man? Were they trying to get you to stay closer to home or was that everybody was elated? You going big time.
All right, man, my mom, she really didn't know anything about basketball like that. You know, it was kind of hard because I'm very, like, I judge people off their energy.
Mm.
And, you know, and it's at that time, my mom was single. She had me at 15. And when I started making a name for myself, the only person that I could depend on was my uncle. So anything that my uncle said, like, okay, like, this is what I'm going to do. And my mom used to always say, like, just call your uncle. And I wish I knew a little bit more about red shirting and you know, having that extra year to develop. Coach Sampson called my mom one night and was like, I want Darnell to come to OU. And he told her on the phone that he's like, yeah, I'm going to redshirt Darnell. Soon as he said that, my mom was like, well, he's not coming. Mm. Now that I think about it, just going through my career and you know, and experiences and maturity growing, like if my son ever goes into college playing basketball and the coach tells me, like, I feel like you should redshirt, I'm agree with it because that's an extra year of development. Mm. That's an extra year of learning, of getting the knowledge to help him be a better player. I think it's great. I think it's great that kids, you know, that want to go, I think it's great that kids that want to go to prep school and get an extra year of experience or exposure. I think that's great. Okay. But, you know, it was just, my mom was just like, you know, you're not redshirting. So when Coach Self said, I'm a player, I was at KU.
Mm. So you stepped foot on campus. What's your first mindset then? What's on your mind? How big were your eyes?
Man, I honestly, mentally and physically, I wasn't prepared for the grind on the court. I wasn't prepared. I was just coming off injury, a real bad back injury my senior year at Midwest City. I wasn't prepared mentally or physically for the grind that you had to put in every day, man, out of Major D1 like that. Then you got Coach Self, legendary Hall of Famer coach. He didn't take it easy on no one. And it was very tough for me. But other than that, I stepped on campus and my first mindset was like, man, I want to go to a party. You know, it's just like, I'm coming from Oklahoma. I'm at one of the biggest schools in the country. I'm like, I want to experience. We all seen He Got Game.
Yep. Facts.
We all seen He Got Game.
Facts.
I'm thinking it's going to be like that. It was nothing like that, bro. Nothing at all. It was not even close. But I enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed every bit of being at that school, man. I love KU.
That's what's up. And so, go to that in that culture, right? That grind, that brotherhood. I'm looking at like the progression of your seasons and your game. Everything goes up, you know, as far as up and up and up for you before your final season there, though. But just give me some adversities, though, you may have ran into while you was there that you don't mind sharing.
The toughest thing that I had to deal with, man, was my grandmother and my mom. They got in a car wreck, taking my little brother to Vegas. It's a head-on collision. My grandmother was crushed from head to toe. And my mom, you know, seeing her with her leg hanging off, screws all in her leg, broken arms. And it was tough for me. You know, I packed up and I left KU. I quit. I went home and I told my mom, I said, I'm just going to get a 9-to-5. I'm going to help you. You know, I go home. It's, you know, there's no food in the fridge. There's no, you know, electricity. There's no water. You know, I had to deal with some of those things growing up, man, even sleeping on the floor in front of the oven just to stay warm. You know, as a kid, or putting water in the microwave just to take a warm bath. Those were things that made me who I am today. Because I wanted to change my life. I wanted to change my mom's life. And when she seen my grandmother laying that casket for the first time from the breath, she didn't know how to react. And the only thing that I could do was hold her in her wheelchair, and I whispered in her ear. I said, Mom, I'm going to make it. You don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
I went back to KU and I turned all the way the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I got drafted.
Yes. So you get back to KU. Y'all go on this run, right? Just as far as getting to the, before the tournament start, though. And then again, you know, Big 12 is tough, as we've seen to this day still. It's tough. It's a grind.
Yeah.
Biggest rivalry game you played in while at KU? Or the biggest crowd, I would say that, before K-State. The tournament, though. K-State.
That's the biggest one, man, when they had Mike Beasley.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Mr. Bucket.
Beasley.
Mike Beasley, man. I'm talking about, we tried to do everything in our power to stop that man from scoring. I think he finished with 40. I think he had 40, man. But it's like K-State and Kansas, honestly, I think that's the biggest rivalry in Kansas basketball history. They say it's Missouri, mm-hmm. but me just being there 4 years, it's always K-State.
So walk me through just a little bit, bro, how it is to come out to that. What do you hear when you come out the locker room? Or what do you, because I mean, I know you probably can't hear anything or in that game. What is that like?
And especially in the Allen Fieldhouse, you know, that's why they say beware of the fog, man. If you look up at the top where the windows are, the windows fog up. You see a little bit of fog. You see a little bit of smoke. Like, the tradition is real. Like, that's something that's not, it's not made up. You can go in the gym and you got 18,600 people in the gym screaming. Wow. And you can't even hear yourself call out the plays. That's how loud it is. It's the best gym. It's the best gym in the country, bro.
That's crazy. It's crazy. So I'm looking through your little roster right now, man. And again, I've been a basketball savant for years, man. You play with some hitters. You had, I mean, y'all team was low. I mean, from Chalmers to, it's sad, but I forgot about Mr. Rush. You know what I mean? I watched his brothers at UCLA for years, and Darrell Arthur, all you guys, man, it came together for you that year. What do you feel that it took for you guys to complete that task? What had to click for you guys for it to come together?
Nobody cared about who got the success. We didn't care who got the credit. You know what I'm saying? Like, we played together as a team. Like, whatever we did on the court, we did off the court together. Like, you know what I'm saying? We stuck together. We believed in each other. We lifted each other up. Whoever was down, we made sure we lifted that person up, man. We had to motivate to elevate, right?
Right.
And that's what we did. And Coach Self, man, he made sure that he's like, man, if you guys ever had any issues, you know, you talk about it. And that's what we did. Matt Kleiman, man, one of our walk-ons, he came out one day. He was like, man, I feel like we all should have a meeting. We had a meeting. Everybody put their emotions on the table, and we just talked about what we needed to do to win the championship. And one by one, man, everybody gave some great advice, and we went out on the court and we executed. Man, you can't be on the court with a team if you don't believe in your teammate. Fact. You know, if you don't believe in the next guy that's coming off the bench that's going to come in, and he's going to do what he needs to do to help us win this game. And that's what we did. And when the tournament started for us, I told Darrell, Mario, and Brandon, I said, all right, man, this is it. I'm like, you three got to take us home. And they did that. They showed up. Darrell showed up in the championship game. Mario hit the big shot. Brandon made shots. Like, man, it was unbelievable. Man, you got to have a group of guys that believe in the system, that believe in each other.
That's dope. You said that's talk about selflessness, right? I ride for you, you ride for me, man. That's so dope. Yes, sir. So, the buzzer goes off. What is on your mind? What feelings coming over you right there at that point?
I'm still on the court. You talking about after Mario hit the shot?
Yeah, no, when the game. Game goes off.
Also, when we went to...
For the shit.
So, when Mario hit the shot...
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. So, when Mario hit the shot, like, if people go and watch the game, I'm still standing on the court. Everybody else is running to the bench. I'm still on the court with my hands on my hips. And I'm standing there like, damn, did he just really make that? Because on the pictures and everything, like, I'm under the rim, bro. And I tell everybody, when he shot the ball, I swear to God, I thought the ball was coming straight to me. I was like, this is a fucking mirror ball.
Yeah.
Like, I'm bent down. You can see I'm bent down. I'm like, I'm going to have to try to tip dunk it and lay it back up. And the ball just curved, bro. It was like a curve ball. Just... It went right, bro. It was the craziest thing I seen, bro. It curved and went right in. And we run it back. And I said, yo, he just made, I can't believe it. I walked to the bench. And the whole game, Danny Manning was telling me we were going to win and we were losing at that time. So I'm looking at him like he crazy. I'm like, man, we down 5-6 points. And he's like, we're going to win this game. Mario made the shot. Those guys were so gassed. We were so deep. That's what helped us. We had so many guys, Ron, Cole Aldridge. We had Jeremy Case. You know, Roger Stewart. You know, he had his injury. We had Mario. You know, we had Brady Morningstar. You know, we had all these guys coming off the bench bringing something to the team.
Yeah.
We had our second win. And we knew it was over from there, man. We had them. They were gassed. They were so gassed. And from what I was told during that time, they said they they brought all the championship stuff out for Memphis. Mm. They put it behind their bench, even the trophy. Mm. And when Mario hit that shot, they took everything back, put it back in the back.
Amazing moment, bro, man. That's crazy.
Yes, bro. They thought we were going to lose.
Lifetime moments, bro. That's super dope. That's super dope, man. Never can take that from you. So you get the ship. Draft day, where you at?
I'm in Oklahoma City.
Okay. You hear your name call. Family's there, I'm sure. What do you do first?
I didn't hear my name call, man. My mom, she's like, let's have a draft party. And I was like, man, no. I'm like, I just wanted to be me and you and my brother and sister and my uncle. I was like, and you know, and I told her, I was like, I don't think I'm going to get drafted. She was like, don't say that. You don't get drafted. So she invited all the family and friends, and I'm, you know, and I'm going off on her. I'm like, man, why'd you do that? Yeah. No, I'm not going to get my name called. So I'm in the room. I'm in my auntie's weight room with the door closed on the phone with my cousin, BJ. And I'm holding my little niece. And I'm just talking on the phone. And all of a sudden, I hear a whole bunch of people scream. They come and they bust through the door. Oh, my God, it calls your name. And I'm like, what? And it's on commercial, the TV come back on, and I think it was Andy Katz talking at the time, or French Hill, one of them two. And he's like, Darnell Jackson just got drafted to Miami. And I was like, why? But I really wanted to go to Cleveland. I had two workouts with Cleveland. I really wanted to go to Cleveland, man. And I turn around, I tell my cousin, I said, man, I guess we're going to Miami. Next thing I know, my mom's like, Darnell's, Mike Brown is on the phone. Oh. I'm like, oh, what's up, coach? He was like, yeah, that draft pick was for us. Ooh. You come to Cleveland. And man, and I just broke down crying, bro.
Yes,
it was the most, man, it was the most blessing, most, the greatest feeling in the world that anybody can feel of how much shit that you've been through in your life, the trials and tribulations of you to get to the point where you even thought at sometimes that you wasn't going to make it.
Right.
You doubt yourself, and you make it off just because of the work that you put in.
That's super dope. So you got your next wish comes true, bro. You get up to Cleveland. Game has to elevate. What are some things that you know that you got to elevate or bring to the table to step foot on this court? Because as we know, you can get picked, but the play is a different story.
The consistency, man. You got to bring it every day. Practice, games, scrimmages. Even when Coach Lloyd was working us out at the time, even when we was playing 2-on-2, 3-on-3, you know, those guys, the coaches, they were playing with us too. It was no day, like for me, it was no days off.
Mm.
And that was the biggest thing that, you know, Ben Wallace and Brian were always preaching, man. Like, man, there's no days off for the young folks. There's no days off for the rookies.
Mm.
You know, even though Brian is a year older than me, but he, you know, he went straight out of high school, you know? So you watch, like, Shaq, Wally Zerbiak, Zine, Andy. You see all these vets, they got miles on their bodies, miles on their legs. They're putting in the work. So it's like, I can't let them put more work in. And I'm, you know, I go in there for my hour and a half, two, and I go home.
Yeah.
No, it was days where I was literally sleeping in the gym. I wouldn't go home.
Facts. That's what's up.
That's how bad I wanted it. I wanted to show them, like, man, this is where I belong. Like, I'm going to prove it to you.
Yeah, yeah. Big Ben Wallace, man. People don't mention him enough as far as what he did for the game, but his infectiousness, which I love, and his, okay, I'm going to do the little things, bro. What are some gems he may have dropped on you outside of just, you know what I'm saying, the consistency? What else he might have told you or kind of helped you along the way to make, you know what I'm saying, make you a better player?
Man, the consistency, putting in the work when nobody's watching.
Right.
Don't fake it. Be honest. And when you step on that court, you know, you perform. You know, and just me sitting back and watching him, man, that guy, Ben is like one of the best vets I ever had in the time I spent in the NBA.
Respect.
Then I got blessed to be with Shaq. I got blessed to be with Kurt Thomas, Stackhouse. Man, I was around some great vets, man. It just learning the game from them has helped me survive throughout my careers, man, because I learned something from everyone.
Right. And right then, you were with a young Bron. So let me just ask this, though. Was it for you particularly as far as, no, you're there with him, but then now again, it was a part of something because it was about business, you know, finals every year with y'all when he was there. How high of a level overall would you think he made everybody else's game go to?
Oh.
Bron.
Oh, man. Every day.
Yeah.
Man, I tell the guys now when I'm with Chris at Just Hoops,
mm-hmm.
I have never, ever seen anybody do the things that he does on the court and off the court. And I mean body-wise, conditioning, eating, and the mental. It was one time she's driving down the court in transition. It's during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody helps from strong side. And you know, you're always taught, never help from strong side shooters.
Mm-hmm.
The dude took one step and he said, oh, you're going to help from strong side and pass the ball. And I was like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like he knows what's coming before it happens.
Yeah, definitely.
And just watching him go through his routine, man. And I asked him one day, man, I was like, yo, like how did you learn that? And he said he taught himself as a kid. He said he would just go to the court and he'll practice certain moves. And I was like, for real? He's like, yeah. He's like, a lot of things that I know, I taught myself.
Mm. Crazy. Good experience, Rick. Looking at your history, man, had a stint with the Erie BayHawks, then to the Bucks. And I definitely remember when you came to Sactown for that time, man. I think y'all energy and that young still, but again, I think that energy and it was reciprocated on off the court. But what I will say is, who do you credit your off the court stuff to, man? Because I remember, again, meeting you, coming conversations. Nothing said big time NBA or can't talk to me about you when I met you. You know what I mean? Through the cousin, yeah. My cousin Matt, and then, you know, B Moore, big bro. Just what is your, again, how to kind of carry yourself, respectable, talk to people? Where does that come from, man?
Man, that just comes from home, man. This is for me just, you know, growing up in the circumstances that I was in, watching my uncle. You know, my uncle is definitely a role model, man. I always wanted to be like my uncle. And, you know, him having his own business, him being his own boss, you know, and just having the motivation to get up every day at 4 a.m. and go to work 5 to 8. You know, he still does it to this day. And I asked him, I said, okay, why don't you just retire?
Hmm.
And he was like, he said, darn it, if I retire, I'm going to die.
Hmm.
And that's his mindset. And I told my wife this a few months back, too. If I retired and if I just sat around and just try to live off my retirement, like, I know for sure I'll die before 50. Because, you know, as men, we have to keep ourselves busy.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We have to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe in this. Like, I was always told as a kid, no man shall be alone. You have to have a companion.
Mm.
You know, you need a rock. You need somebody to lean on. You need somebody to push. You need somebody to keep you focused, man. And I always been like that. And over the years, I have learned things of, you know, how to hold your emotion in and not to express
mm-hmm.
in a bad way. And everybody that I meet, man, I always treat people with respect. I truly believe in loyalty.
Fact.
And after loyalty, then comes love, man. I'd rather receive loyalty than love because it could be your own family that stab you in your back or shoot you or do anything to harm you, man.
Yeah, that definitely true.
So
man.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah. Bro, you said a few times, man, your faith, man, is like, I mean, you mentioned all the time. And again, my folks are from the South, too. My mom's from Mississippi, back that way. My grandpa, too. Where does that come from? Because, again, I think, as we know, again, black men and males, we do have our struggles. We go up, we have our stuff that we want to try to emulate because that's what we're brought up around. But my grandma and my mom always say, you always have that. You can always come back to that church, that family, that faith in your side of you. Where does your faith come from?
My grandmother. Man, my grandman, when I was a kid, man, I used to wake up in the middle of the night and cry. And I go to my grandma's room and I look through the door. And if I see her smoking a cigarette, I walk in and she'd be like, what's wrong? And I just talk to her about Jesus. And I was like, man, I don't want to die. And she was like, you got a long life to live. And she was like, you won't even know when you're going to die. Like, Jesus will come and get you. You'll be okay. So she used to just calm me down, man. And she's, every morning, every Sunday, she's like, come on, we're going to go to church.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So my grandma really played a big, big part in my faith, man, and me believing.
Shout out to grandparents, man. They are definitely a blessing, boy. If you got them around,
Amen.
Man, definitely a blessing, man. Resume is extensive, man. You're definitely been a journeyman. What keeps you, like you said, besides outside the fear of not doing what you love to do, keeps you going to be consistent, man? Taking jobs, they say, or gigs outside of the country, what drives you to do that? Is it the love of the game, or is it something, responsibilities? What's your why?
My why is because it's business now. When I left the NBA and went cross seas for the first time, even though the NBA is business, it's nothing like Europe. It's nothing like international basketball. It's business. It's nothing but business with them. You have 2-3 bad games, you might be on the next flight going home.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And it's I didn't been with 3 teams and haven't received a dime. You got to deal with not having payments. So that's how I look at it now. Like, okay, if you guys are going to look at me as business, I'm going to look at you guys as business. I'm going to do my job, but I'm going to do it where I'm going to make sure that I'm getting my reward. Now, if you don't get your reward, that's something you have to deal with the team. It sucks, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like guys that go play international, they're going to go through it. It happens. So I wish it wasn't like that. But when my son was born, and now I got my daughter, she's 2. Now it's just an experience. I want my son to experience, you know, going cross seas and being around different cultures and experiencing different food. Same with my daughter, my wife. Like, we love it. Like, it's a blessing. I never thought in a million years I would travel the world and be in so many places. Like, I don't take any of that for granted.
Dope. Definitely dope. Real quick, though, shout out to my old teammate and yours, Trey Johnson. I played with Trey in college. I linked up with him, man. He was like blocked. That's my, but he was telling me the same experience, man. It's such a business. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? You take that for what it is. And it's people paying with your money.
Yes,
that can change the aspects of your business. So that's what's up. So right now, what's up with, what's going on with right now? What's up next for you, man? What you got going?
And right now, I've been with Chris Johnson at Just Hoops. Man, I've been knowing Chris ever since he started. We're going on a decade now. He's, you know, giving me the knowledge of the game. You know, I'm helping him with mentoring some of these young guys that's coming through and helping him develop some of these NBA guys. And he's basically giving me the blueprint of how to be a great trainer. You know, coach, NBA, WNBA, whatever it is, whatever direction I go, whatever comes first, he's preparing me for this. And I'm ready, you know. He's definitely he got me back in shape. We have talked to a few teams of me going to go play. So, like I'm going to tell you, like I tell everybody, I'm not just focused on one thing. Like, I'm prepared for any situation. If it's for coaching, I'm ready. If it's for playing, I'm ready. Like, I've been doing it every day for 6 months, man.
Okay.
And, you know, the sky's the limit.
That's what's up. You stay ready, you ain't got to get ready, brother. So, you already there, man. So, before we get ready to get out of here, man, just again, man, it's just crazy how fast these times have went by, these years, experiences for all of us. I mean, in our past, what free game or what gyms, as everybody says now, can you really let the kids, not just, well, anybody, any athlete trying to pursue a career in anything, what would you tell them? Give them some, it's on you right now, just to shine some light on them right now, or some advice, whatever you got.
Well, we already touched on guidance.
Yep.
And one of the other biggest thing is mental, man. Your mental health it plays a huge part of what you're trying to do, because a lot of these kids in the world, man, or even some of these adults, man, they think at some point things are going smooth. But then you might get hit with reality and things get hard, man. And some people don't have the mindset to fight through it. They give up. You have to surround yourself with people that understand what you're going through. And emotionally, mentally, you have to talk about it. You can't just do what I did. I held everything in. So when I felt like somebody was disrespecting me, as men, we react with aggression. Instead of talking about it.
Yep. True. That mental health is definitely key.
Take your time, attention to the detail. Mm-hmm. It's definitely key. It's the biggest thing, man, when it comes to this game of basketball. Mm. Your mind to play tricks on you. Your mental health is important.
That's what's up. The coaches, though. Outside of, I know you talked about Coach Sell. Any other coaches that left that lasting impression inside you, man, that you know I'm never, that it ain't never going nowhere. Any other coaches, and besides Uncle, any other coaches?
Man, I got to go with Larry Brown, Bob Hill, John Lucas Sr., Danny Manning.
Got some veterans, boy.
Man, Lloyd Pierce. Man, I didn't had a lot of great coaches, man, in my, you know, during my career. And I took something from all of them, honestly. You know, because you need coaches that are honest. You need coaches that are going to put you in situations for you to be successful. You know, like, you can't have a coach say, oh, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. They're going to say, you need a coach to, hey, keep doing that. It'll come. It doesn't happen overnight, man. Everybody develops at their own pace. Mm-hmm. And every single last one, all the coaches that I named, they believed in me, man. They knew, like, I could do it. And I did it. You know, I stuck it out, man. I played at the highest level. I played in different leagues in Europe and China. And, like, until this day, I still talk to some of these guys, man. And as soon as I send a text, they always respond.
Yeah. That's right. A lifelong friend.
Man,
that's definitely what's up. Bro, man, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. Again, this is really, really dope. Keep doing what you're doing, man. I wish you the best of luck. But now, again, I'm definitely going to tap in more so we can see what's going on from my city to yours or whatever it is, brother. Because, again, man, like I said, we're going to be rocking now until the wheels fall off. So keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate your time, bro. Be safe out there. I'll be in touch, my guy.
Yes, sir. You too. Thank you for having me on your show.
Man, always a pleasure, man. Like I said, man, I appreciate you, D.
All right.
All right, peace.
Peace.